Isaiah promises us that our vindicator is near. Be strong, fear not. The Lord comes with vindication, with divine recompense. And my reaction is, and about time too. There is so much that needs to be cleaned up. Come, Lord Jesus, please start now. Let the cleaning up begin. The stories of Jesus are wonderful, but our world is in such a sorry state. So I keep asking, did the Redeemer really come? When does the cleanup really begin? We believe that the Redeemer has come, but to the consternation of Jesus' contemporaries, and maybe to our own consternation as well, he did not come to establish a political kingdom, or even a social, cultural kingdom, like a spiritual Hollywood. Jesus relies on us to take the lead in the cleanup, person by person, small group by small group, family by family, parish by parish, and religious order by religious order. In the gospel, Jesus allows the deaf to hear. Wouldn't it be great, though, if he could not only make the deaf hear, but also make the deaf listen? Lots of people hear. Few people really listen. Authentic listening heals and restores. When we listen, we empower the mute to speak. They may have been speaking all along, but with no one listening, they were rendered mute. So Jesus sends us out to help the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. But you will say, what can we do with so many people needing help? And then we will realize what Jesus meant when he said that the harvest is ready, but the laborers are few. So what is our work, you might ask me? In our political world, many are not heard and therefore mute. Those without medical insurance, blue-collar workers without jobs, rural poor suffering from opioid addictions, because many in authority are not listening. Midterm elections are coming, as are legal decisions from a newly conservative judiciary. Perhaps some of you feel called to work in the political realm. As followers of Jesus, there's plenty of work to do. In our religious world, we are among those whose voices remain mute because they and we are unheard. Perhaps some of you feel called to work in our religious realm. In a September 6 letter, the Cardinal told us that he is reflecting on ways, quote, we as a church, all of us, laity, religious, and clergy, might with faith strengthened in prayer discern that level of reform rooted in accountability and transparency that would permit the church to enter a new era, end quote. This is a wonderful invitation, though I do not know by what mechanism we can talk with him. There are multiple steps we can take to prepare for that conversation. In a separate homily, I would like to reflect on how we can understand the present darkness in our society and church. If our fundamental faith claim is that Jesus is alive and active in our world, bringing his vindication, just as Isaiah says, where is his vindication? In the church, I think it is aggressive purification of the hierarchy by the Pennsylvania District Attorney's Office, and now additional states' attorneys general, both liberal and conservative media, a number of liberal and conservative Catholic journals, priests and theologians, and you and me. In our society, I think it is the revelation, the apocalypse of a fundamental evil that has lurked near the surface but now is in plain view for all of us to see and condemn. Racism, misogyny, white fundamentalism, economic exploitation, sexual exploitation, and so on. But that reflection must await a separate homily. In the meantime, there's prep work that you and I can do. First, we're the people of God. The Vatican II document Lumen Gentium gives us our official job description. Have you read it? Maybe we should read it together. It gives us a solid grounding for our claim to be the people of God. We can then live out more richly our participation in the royal priesthood of Christ. Scripture says that we are, quote, a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people set apart, for God has called us out of darkness into God's own wonderful light, end quote. You will hear this text a little later in this Mass. Do you really feel this? Believe it and live it? We must allow this text to energize our very selves and our ministry to the world. Second, God gives us gifts of the Spirit that St. Paul describes in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14. Each one of us is endowed with a unique constellation of spiritual gifts given by God to help us focus the ways in which the Spirit of God moves through us in ministry. These gifts include teaching, administration, healing, service, mercy, calling people to prayer, evangelization, hospitality, pastoral care, among others. Do you know what your gifts are? I know a diagnostic questionnaire we might use so we can all name our own unique gifts. My principal gifts, incidentally, are preaching, teaching, faith, knowledge, and encouragement. Third, Jesus offers us relief from the hurts, angers, resentments, bitterness, and other burdens of the past. The principal source of relief is the Eucharist, at the climax of which we say, Lord, I am unworthy to enter under your roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed. And he who is fullness of love, care, and concern for us flows into us in the rich silence right after we have received communion. This inflow of love counteracts the toxic emotions that cling to our memories or the corrosive damage done to our sense of self-worth. In time, the emotions are drained away and the corrosive damage is repaired, leaving us free to give and receive love more fully. I am describing this to you as a matter of personal experience, not as a matter of theory. We will have an anointing service the Wednesday evening of the first week of October, which I will lead. Please come. Fourth, God invites us to participate in the work of resolving the Church's current problems. We can each discover God's particular invitation to each of us, making use of the gifts of the Spirit through the process of discernment of spirits that we know through the guidance of St. Ignatius. Do you have a regular prayer life that is the necessary basis for discernment? Do you know how to do basic discernment? We can continue to learn this necessary skill together. Fifth, and above all, this present darkness invites us to renew our relationship with Jesus himself through personal prayer, group prayer, reflection on its scripture, praying the examen individually and together, and participating regularly in the Eucharist and other sacraments to discover Jesus really at work in our lives. As always, Jesus invites us to this Eucharist to express gratitude, to hear his promises in Scripture, to be lifted up in communion, and to be sent out from this place, renewed to fight another week before we return here again. Jesus invites invites us to receive him in his fullness so that we can be full participants in the great task of helping him build his kingdom here in this place at this time.